Thank you, Esther. I still remember how she first started out. And so we see you as a regular feature. And one day we look at Jerome as well, wherever you are, where are you? Yes, and he will one day, I will also tell him, I said, one day it'll be your turn at the piano. And if only we would, there we go, we're mentioning you. <It's> just I said, one of these days you'll be playing at the piano too. And looking forward to how you all can serve the Lord in different ways. Well, this will be my last worship with you all for a while. After tomorrow, I will be out of church for a while, and I need to be well for the next week especially. So last week when I came to church, I picked up something, and a whole week I've been fighting a bad throat. And this is what they want me to prevent. So if that happens, it will just endanger my life further. So after this weekend, today, tomorrow, I will not be around for a while. There are lots of challenges ahead of me and things that I need to prepare for, going down to a hospital quite a bit this coming week, all in preparation of, and then after that, the surgery itself. Lots of things to ponder over. Am I worried? Am I scared? Frankly, no. This is what it means to have faith. This is what it means to trust the Lord. It means to have a peace that passes all understanding. Okay? So what I am looking forward to one last worship with you, to share with you the Lord's Word and how it can become real and how it can become meaningful to our lives. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for every opportunity to come in for your presence, to be in the company of each other, among the young people. I pray that you will help us to learn whatever we can, all that we can, through the various ways and means of expressing our worship. Help us to be there to sing with our heart. Help us to listen with our hearts, with our minds, as prayers are offered on our behalf, and as the Word of God is read. We pray that, above all, our hearts will be challenged and touched as we listen to your word given to us. We pray for your blessings on every part of this program. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, over to you.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome back to Youth Worship. I'm Audrey.
And I'm Lorraine. And unlike Joel and Jovan, who have a very, very huge age gap, actually Audrey and I are of the same age. And perhaps to give you a hint of how old we are... Okay. So this is a picture of me and Audrey, and this was at the zoo. But to give you a hint of how old we are, so while we were playing at the zoo and looking at different animals in the enclosure, Jovan was in an enclosure of his own, and he was playing in a ball pit. So though we are of the same age, I would like to think that... we grew up quite differently. As you can tell from our fashion sense here, I was always in dresses, and this was not by my own choice. Thanks, Mom. But Audrey was 24/7 in jeans and a graphic tee. And we thank God that we could grow up together and learn how to serve God. And one way was through the children's choir. And you can tell how old this picture is because our dear friend here, Chloe Tang, is in a full pink dress. She doesn't do that anymore.
And Lorraine and I have known each other all our lives and been at Youth Worship together for many, many years now. But actually, in fact, this is actually our first time leading in worship and in song together. And the first song that we have chosen today is titled Behold Our God. And I would like to share about how I've been learning to behold the greatness of our God as my Creator. I recently had the chance to attend Bethel's family camp in Perth, and this being the longest break away from work, it was not only a very nice time being away for a while, but also a very precious time of learning from the scriptures and relating to fellow brethren. One other thing that I came to treasure about the week was a time that I got to spend in nature. away from the rush of the city, within the valley of hills all around. You know, in Singapore, we don't get to admire the beauty of the Lord's creation as much. And so being in the outskirts of Perth allowed me to appreciate God as my creator all over again. You know, creation reveals to us the glory of just how great our God truly is, His splendor, His majesty. And every morning, if I could share some pictures, I got to witness the sun rising above the mountains and to see its rays just fill the fields before me. And every night, looking up to the sky, the Milky Way just hung right above us. Now, this reminded me of the words of David in Psalm 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. To think of how God created everything around us just amazes me. You know, from each leaf of the trees to the gradient of the colors in the sky, you know, they show the artistry and wisdom of our God as creator that is just so great, so majestic, that we cannot help but just stand in awe and behold His works. One other special thing is creation also reveals to us how we have a creator who cares for His creation, including each and every one of us. You know, standing in nature, it made me feel small. Small in the vastness of the fields and small in the swarms of birds flying all above me. Small under the million stars in the sky. But as I saw how the birds knew where to get their food from the fruits of the orchard, or knew where to gather to rest on a very specific tree in the evenings, and looking at the stars in the sky and how they hung so perfectly in their place, I was reminded of what David wrote in Psalm 8, verses 3 to 4. When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? You know, sometimes we feel small before our great God, thinking, who are we to stand before Him? But the truth is that we are His creation, and God cares for us too. As our Creator, God knows and cares about everything, about us, what we are going through, all the thoughts on our mind. And even as I was at camp, and what one might say, far from civilization and reality, as we perhaps sometimes see camps as that getaway. You know, my mind was not free from many thoughts too, thinking about how I was going to apply the lessons and the reality of life I knew I had to come back home to. The thoughts I come back to and face. You know, but as I stood in awe and beheld the majesty of my great God, you know, the thoughts and worries on my mind suddenly felt smaller as I was reminded of my Creator, who is greater than everything around me and greater than my thoughts. He who made the sun, the hills, and hung every star in its place in the sky is also the one who made me, and He is the author of my life. My God is a God so great, yet not far. He is near to me, knowing my every thought and holding me in His hands. And so I knew I did not have to fear or be overwhelmed, because God knows my every need and He will provide for them. And a special sense of joy and assurance came, knowing that I can continue to trust my Creator, who knows me in all the things that He has given me to do. This afternoon, may I invite you to join me in singing to our glorious Creator, whom our hearts can adore and worship. You know, we may not have the mountains or the Milky Way to admire here before our eyes, but we have this truth, that the Creator of things afar is the same God who is Lord of each and every one of our lives. May your hearts be encouraged too as you ponder the lyrics of this song and sing of a great and wise Creator whom our hearts can trust our lives in. Let us take this song together.
Thank you, AB team, and thank you to the musicians for enhancing worship this afternoon. The next song we'll be singing is My Father's Love. You know, the concept of love shows up everywhere these days. On TikTok, it appears as 5-second videos with the caption, if he or she really wanted to, he would or she would. And expressions of love can almost be neatly defined in the five love languages. It's also become a bit of a business. So at the MRT near my workplace, there's this tarot card reading booth which promises a very, very accurate prediction of your love life for a hefty $35. Yeah. How do I know it's $35? I didn't do it. I promise. Yeah. But I'm learning that our Father's love, unlike any concept of love that this world has to offer, is worth anchoring my heart in. And several aspects of our Father's love stand out to me and feature in our next song. First, our Father's love is strong and it is true. How do we know the strength of His love? How do we know that it's true, it is genuine? Because it doesn't change with the circumstances. Because it is given to us even when it's costly. And we see this clearly through God's giving of His Son to us. What were the circumstances in which this love was given? When we rejected and despised His love. As it says in John chapter 1, verse 11, He came to His own, but His own did not receive Him. Surely there was every reason for God's love to be withheld. Yet the Lord Jesus was given to us because of our Father's great love. So how do we know that this love is true? Because it was given at the highest cost, the life of God's only Son. And we see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? The Lord's love remains strong and true, even in times when I have chosen to doubt this love, especially in times when I found myself wondering, what was God doing in my life? And my heart led me to assume that His love had changed. But we read in Jeremiah of how our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. And I'm learning to look again at what is true, and that is His love that has been shown, has been proven at the cross. Another aspect of our Father's love that I appreciate is His sufficiency of this love. And we are going to sing of it in verse 2 of the song. Do we need everything the world has to give? The world would affirm this. For those studying, those in NS, you need good grades. You need to secure a good university spot for a bright future. For those thinking of work, for those working, you need to build your portfolio and make the right connections to stand out, to achieve financial independence at an early age. The more you have, the better. The cross shows us that all we ever need can be found in His love. Our worth, that the world tries so desperately to define in our accomplishments, well, it can be found in the Lord Jesus and in His precious blood. And we were bought by this precious blood. Our lives on earth are only worth living because we know that we are recipients of this love. So our Father's love has been given to us. And would our hearts not be moved to respond? May the chorus of the song guide our response this afternoon. And my Father's love is strong and true. We first respond with a declaration of our Father's love. Its strength and how genuine it is found and proven at the cross. Always believing, always seeing me through. We then respond in faith that our Father's love does not give up on us. It preserves us. So no matter what happens in His grand design, I'll be fine with my Father's love. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, in our most helpless moments, we can respond with assurance that we will be fine because we have His love. So for those who are new to this song, maybe I could point you to the last chorus. These are some of the words that we'll be holding, the word design, as well as the word fathers. And may our hearts be moved to respond to this love this afternoon. Let's take our next song together.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today,
We will be reading from Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 44 to 47. In this passage, Moses concludes the song in front of the people and encourages them to set their hearts on the words of the song. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 44. So Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun, and spoke all the words of this song in the hearing of the people. Moses finished speaking all these words to all Israel, and he said to them,
"Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today, which you shall command your children to be careful to observe, all the words of this law. For it is not a futile thing for you, because it is your life. And by this word, you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess."
Thank you, Lorraine, Audrey, Gloria, and Chloe for reading. Well, good afternoon, everyone. This afternoon, it is my joy to take up this segment that we call the Pastoral Prayer. As we have been explaining the last few weeks, the Pastoral Prayer is a time where we pastors are learning how to make a prayer of intercession for all of you. And this is something that we are seeking and we are deeply challenged to attempt. But today, as we come to this time of prayer, I would like us to approach this time of prayer slightly differently. And the focus is today is not so much on all of us here, but it is very much on Pastor and Auntie. As Pastor mentioned just now and at morning worship last Sunday, he will be away for some time because of his surgery. It is a transplant surgery. It is one that is complex. It is high risk. And it is one where, you know, many things can go wrong. Even though right now technology has advanced a lot, but we just want to take these things for granted. I think what was deeply moving for me last week when I heard Pastor speak was his request for us to pray for him as a church. And it just helped me to see how there was such a conviction in his heart on the power of prayer. That our prayers to God as a church can make a difference in life and death. And this is something that I would like us to attempt today. Why do I want to pray for Pastor? And that's really because I've come to love him as my shepherd, as my pastor, and as a father figure in my life. Ever since I came to Bethany, Pastor has always been there for me. He has watched me grow up, and he showed me what it means to serve, what it means to be a man of God. And sometimes the honest truth is that I do get scared. I'm getting a bit, And sometimes, I do get scared of what potentially can happen. Pastor's not scared, he's strong. But I know that I'm not. And there are moments where I'm afraid of what could potentially be, and that just drives me to pray. Praying for him is just the natural thing that I can do for him, for all that he is to me. And I believe for many of us here, we also have come to experience the love of Pastor, and we have been touched by his love for us as our shepherd, as one who has led us, has guided us, and has been there for us all this time. It is only right and fitting that we come together as a group of young people to pray for him. And praying for him is not just right now at this moment to pray for him. Let us be challenged to pray for him continuously, unceasingly, from now leading up to the surgery, especially after, that the Lord will keep him, to keep him and to keep Auntie, that the Lord will watch over them, and that the Lord will bring them back to Bethany to continue to lead us as a church. All right, so let us go to the Lord in prayer, and let us come before the Lord's throne of grace to seek His mercy and grace in this time of need. Let us pray. Our Father, we come before You this afternoon seeking Your mercy and Your grace upon Pastor and Auntie as they prepare for the upcoming surgery. We recognize that there are many things that are out of our control, but we know that You are, and we know that You will watch over Your servants who have given their lives to serve You. Father, we just want to pray and ask that Your hand of mercy be upon them, that the surgery will be successful, and that they will be able to recover well, and that we can have them back in church to be there with us and to continue to lead us. We commit them into Your hands. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Prayer that you have just made, something that I treasure very much. It's been a very challenging week, to say the least. I have been having classes, all in Zoom classes, with Indian pastors and all. It has been terrible time talking to them, because they were in tears all the time. So I stop. I really couldn't teach them. They were not concentrating. They were just blowing their nose, wiping their eyes, and then stop. I understand this, and I appreciate it. You guys imagine all the older ladies especially, and they dare not to talk to me for some reason. The same reason why some of you young people also dare not to talk to me. So a few of them came up to me and they asked, can I give you a hug? And it's just been there, and what it means. But I really appreciate the sense of love that we have developed. And you know, it's just interesting. This afternoon we had over 100 and, I don't know, 120, 150 people there at lunch. And it was just wonderful to see, you know, we have one coffee team there, and we have the salad team there. We have, I have not seen the food, you know. This was one last time together. Somebody asked, have you been doing this all the time? I mean, when you first started it, was it there already beginning? And the answer is yes. So what we are doing in terms of fellowship over lunch and that, it has been in there for the last 50 years. That's a long time. So one person remarked, he said, I've been to other churches where lunch is packet lunch. And then you pay for your own lunch. And that's all you have is a packaged lunch. He says, and he shook his head and he said, oh, it's terrible. But we all understand that. But what are we building? That is very important. We are building something very, very strong. And we are building a community of faith. We're building a friendship with a lot of each other, old, young, sit down together, and we talk, and we fellowship, and we speak of the Lord. And don't take this for granted. Right? So when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 32, I'm just going to take you into 32. There's only a few verses to be read, and they were read for us wonderfully. And we ask ourselves, here we go, verse 44, right? So Moses came with Joshua, the son of Nun. Now, more and more, you see an association. Most of the time, it's just Moses. And bit by bit, he became Moses and Joshua, just to take note of this. And he spoke all the words. It's Moses, okay? This is not a duet. It's just simply, so you have to think of Moses. And this is the song that we are talking about, right? In the hearing of the people. And this is something that we want to, so this is essentially, 32 is a song. 33 is a prayer, right?
So if you were to try to summarize 32, how would you summarize it? Now, it's going to be very hard. But essentially, that's what we are looking at. The question is, how do we summarize a wonderful text like that? Because here we see this. All right? So let's take a look at Moses finished speaking all these words to Israel that he said to them. Verse 46 is really the two key verses. The rest are just, just a preliminary. And the focus 46, and he said to them, set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today. Now, how do we actually understand what he says in 46 and 47? So I'm going to try and summarize for you what this is all about. First, you need to be familiar with 32. So if you were to summarize, if I would summarize Deuteronomy 32 and the song that will be called, I would call it a ballad. It's too long to be a normal song. But when you look at a ballad, then you begin to realize it tells a story. That ballad is basically a story form, but it's made into a, So you ask yourself, what is the theme of this ballad? If you were to try to summarize it, what would you say? Well, this is my title for this. It would be the rise and fall of Israel. Right? Let's take a look at it, trace it, and see what we mean by rise and the fall. Watch very carefully. Okay? And the rise of it all is in chapter 32, where the Lord himself is the one who is going to raise Israel up. Remember the days of old, verse 7. Right? Verse 10. He found him in a desert land. Verse 13, made him ride in the heights of the earth. Right? And the Lord gave to him curds from the battle, from the cattle, milk of the flock, fat of the lambs, and so on and so forth. This is called the rise of Israel. Right? Now, this is important. This is our story too. We can rise up. You're doing well in the school, you go to the school, the university you want to, you take the course that you applied for, rise. Then starts the fall. Now, the fall starts. Verse 15. All right, here we go. Jeshurun. Jeshurun is just from the word Yasher, literally means the idea of one who is righteous. And God gives an affectionate nickname, Jeshurun. Grew up, grew fat and kicked. You grew fat, grew thick, you're obese. That's terrible to describe a person like this, right? And he forsook God who made him. Now, this is the beginning of the fall. Scornfully esteemed the rock of his salvation, and they provoked him to jealousy with idolatry, and went on, and the fall goes on. Verse 20, perverse generation, children, no faith. Worse, children void of counsel, verse 28, there's no understanding in them, the fall. Can you see this? So there's a rise there, and there's a fall here, and the question is, what will happen next? What's the lesson? What are we learning from it all? In verse 36 down, there is the Lord will judge his people, right? And yet he will have compassion on his servant. That's what it means. At the end of it all, we go back to God. It was God who raised up, it's God who will restore. Can you see this? Now, this is what we mean. God will raise up and God will restore. And you, this is important. The restoration will be such that it will also bless the Gentiles. Right? Now, what I have done for you is to summarize the whole song into portions like this. Rise, obviously, first 14 verses, fall 15 down towards the end, with the hope that God will restore. God will cause the heart to rejoice. At this time, the work of God will expand even to Gentiles. All right? So this is a summary of Deuteronomy 32. Now, this is where you have to ask yourself, How do we understand all of these things here? Now, if we were to just read and then to try to remember all the things that different speakers have spoken, chances are we probably forget. Right? Chances are we probably forget. So you need to come up with a way in which this can be remembered. Right? So I've just divided for you 32, and you can do the same thing in 33, you know, the Song of Moses. This is the Song of Moses 32, the Prayer of Moses. But it's a little bit complex, but it can be done. I mean, if you want to sing a verse, song is a long ballad, and then you sing the first stanza, you forget the second stanza. Have you ever read the ballad? That is terrible. Right. That's something you want to read. How many of you are familiar with long epic poems? No, eh? You know what epic poems are? It's very long, right? 10 verses, 20 verses, it's a long story. So for example, the Rime of the Ancient Mariner is called a ballad. And it's a very long thing here. It will take quite a few minutes just to read it. And it's quite a few pages. It's not a short, four stanza, or a sonnet. It's complex. But you need to understand, and every ballad, every song, there is a theme. The theme is the rise, watch, the reason for the rise. The fall, look the reasons for the fall. In the midst of the rise and the fall, you trace God. That's how you remember. Right? Now, so this is where in Deuteronomy 32, Moses says to them, now this is very important, okay? And they set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you. Now, this is something that is just wonderful. First, we have to understand this, although it is a song, it is a word that is from God to be delivered. Next time you come up here to share something, okay? Now, I'm going to challenge you, raise your bar a little bit, okay? Now, it's very important. And ask yourself, if I'm going to share this word, what do you think is the word that the Lord wants me to share? Making sense to you? That is not the same anymore. Right? What you want to share could be what you feel, what you have experienced. Is that valid? Yes. But go up one step further. Right? What is that word from that experience that you have had? What would that be? That is the word that Moses wants us to know. Right? So I've summarized for you. Look at rise. Then straight away you are able to trace. When Israel was faithful, when Israel was close, when Israel was dear to the Lord's heart. See, the closeness was there. That is the word delivered. Am I making sense to you? Right? That is the reason why any Israel or anything will rise up. Right? And this is very important. Whenever there is a closeness, whenever there is a deep sense of affection, so much so that the Lord can call Israel Yeshurun, then you realize there is a closeness. And because of the closeness there, Israel rose. The Lord protected, the Lord provided, the Lord cared for, the Lord was all of these things. It's a relationship thing. This is the word we want to remember. Set your heart on this. Right? So what are we going to set our heart on? If we were to try to memorize every single word, possible, but unlikely. Now, if it's not going to be likely, maybe not even possible for us, you try to memorize Deuteronomy 32. Tell me when you're ready to recite it for me. I'll be very happy to take you out for whatever lunch or dinner you want to go to, but recite it for me. And you realize we can't. But we can learn the words, how, the meaning of it all. I can see the rise. Right? We remember how we were poor, how we were in the wilderness, how we were wretched, how we were miserable. But the Lord took us to Himself and raised us up. How can we forget that? How can we ever forget that? And yet we have. That is what we invite, set your heart. You may not remember the actual words, but you can remember the theme of it all, the message of it all, the word of the Lord at all. Remember what it was like. Go back to 32 again and again, and you say, remember 32:7. The days of old. Consider. Right? Remember how God gave all these things, the inheritance to the nations. He separated the sons of Adam. Look at that. Right? God had a plan. That was Pastor Eugene's message. This is my message on his behalf. Right? God had a plan. And God had a portion for everyone. And God had a plan and a place for Israel. That was what it was. Right? And this is important. The Lord's portion was his people. We cannot forget this. Once you understand this, you remember. That's what you set your heart. We also want to remember how people fall. How did we fall away like this? This is important. The Lord made him right high. How did he fall? He grew fat and kicked. Now watch out for your weight. Now, does that mean that? Does it mean that we watch out for our weight? Well, partially if you are inclined that way. But not really if you want to think about it. What it means, can a thin person be also like that? Yes. Right? Now, this is a word, and I once went to a hospital and they asked me to stand on the thing here. And they wanted to know what my weight is. I stood down there and I was stunned when they said, obese came out. I said, hello, what do you mean by obese? How can I be described as obese? I mean, when you think about obese, right? Don't we have, what is obese? Thick, obese, fat, right? That's what we mean. He grew fat and got thick and got obese. Now that is obvious. So how could I be? He says, well, you are 0.2 above the normal. What do you mean by 0.2 equals obese? Of course, I can only quarrel with the machine. The machine can't talk back. But I hope you understand what it really means when they talk about fat, thick, obese. I mean, you really have become, unfortunately, not doing it. Why? What happened? Forsook God, scorned him, did not esteem the rock of his salvation, and went into these things here. They became absolutely hopeless. They had turned away from God. Right? So this starting point, they were turning away, they were getting fat with the food they were given. They were beginning taking things for granted. They began to think, hey, you know, I did this all by myself. I don't really need God. I can do this. And that's where they fell. Right? So the challenge is to set your heart on all the things that the Lord has said, both rise and fall. That if I know the rise and fall of it all, I would learn lessons. I wanted to be on the rise all the time. I don't want to fall because I know what it is to fall. Why would I want to fall? So I learn lessons, how to rise, how to fall. And I want to learn how to keep rising and want to avoid falling. That is where you say, how do you do this? How do you remember things like that? Well, I have to just summarize it for you in just 5 minutes, the whole chapter. Right? So I know you read the whole chapter, you cannot understand. But this is what it means, rise and fall. And in the midst of all of it, God's consistency, this is what God is like. He will help you to rise, but if you want to fall, he will not be there. And you're going to suffer the consequences of your action. If you were to turn against him, if you were to scorn him, you were to spurn him, you were to grow far away from God, you're going to result. The result is, I'm not part of you. Why would we want to let that happen? Right? Now, think about these things here, and it's something that is going to be very, very painful to realize. Now, to me, to be separated is very painful. And not everybody understands this. So
The doctors tell me that I will have to be separated from my cat. That gives pain to the heart. I said, why? He said, even if the cat scratches you, we want to know the scratch. I said, how can the scratch be so vital? But then I remembered one of our church members, one Mr. Teo Chai Singh. I remember seeing him in hospital. So I went to see him in hospital, and it was some months back already, that last year. So I said, what happened to you? He said, why are you in hospital like that? You're fighting for your life right now. He says, Pastor, you won't believe it, but my cat scratched me. That's all. He says, I cannot, this cat is very close to me, and I love this cat very much. It's been there in my family for years. All you did is one scratch. And he was fighting for his life with infection. Of course, it's not a cat intentionally did it, but he did it anyway. So they had to give away the cat. And so he remembered, I fed my cat on prawns, you know. I don't feed a cat on just fish. I feed a cat on high protein, kabir kind of a stuff, you know, and I feed my cat on things like that. He says, but very sadly, I have to give way. Either that or my life can be affected. I cannot risk the danger of it. So I understand this, but it's not easy to just simply, so to the same thing, I apply this lesson. What is the thing that I fear most? The rise. What is the thing here? The fall. Can we fall? Yes. Can anyone fall? Yes. After all the blessings, we can still fall? Yes. After all the commandments given, we can still fall? Yes. After by the day, the cloud and nighttime fire still fall? Yes. God's provision, God's protection still fall? Yes. What makes you think you can't fall? What makes you think you can't fall? Like you just, I feel very strong, I feel... That's what you think. When does a person become fat? You can't see. It's unnoticeable. That's how you put on weight, unnoticeably, bit by bit. And before you know it, you're thick. Before you know it, you're obese. And you know you're struggling with a health problem. That's what it is. You can't see it immediately. Bit by bit, you drift. And bit by bit, you've gone far away from God. And you don't even realize it. And so Moses has to tell the people, now I'm going to give you this song. Now, how do you understand this song? Set your hearts on all the words which I testify among you today. That's how it is done, right? So first, you want to realize it is God's word that is delivered, right? That's the first thing that you want to look at. The second thing that you want to do, it involves the heart. What is it that is involved, all right? Set this in your heart. Set your hearts on all the words. So when you say set all the heart, what does it really mean? Is it to memorize? No. It's the same vein when Moses said, remember the days of old. You cannot remember on this day, on the 25th, or the 26th, 27th. We're not talking about that kind of thing. We're talking about remember the things which are of notes, right? So what's of my mind right now is the first time I've seen how, whole set of pastors just in tears as I talk to them. That's special. That's going to stay in my mind. That really is. The outpouring of things here like that, even little ones. And so the parents tell me, he says, you know, our son, he's so worried for you, Pastor. He's really worried. He's just so scared that you might die. So he wrote a little card. And of course, inside the little card is a little sugar.
hiding behind a bush. It's a little fellow's imagination. But he is afraid. You know, and you think about all of these things which are happening, you remember. I remember how people will express. I also remember those who are not interested, who can't be bothered. Oh, I understand that too. You accept that. Right? But you remember. Set your heart on remembering. That's how it works. Right? So the things that I read about, that I share about, you know, people go back to, Pastor, I remember this. And going back to years, 10 years ago you said this, 20 years ago you said that, 15 years ago you said, I mean, that is amazing. I remember. Right? So this is something that you want to think about. So this is what we mean by set your heart on things like that. What is the heart? How do you do that? You take time, you set your heart, you remember. Now, if you can remember the times of old which are good, the heart can be uplifted. You know how to avoid the things which are going to make you fall. You are going to be kept. But the point of it all, you set your heart. Now, that's how you remember the Lord's Word. So every time you go through the Lord's Word, in my mind, I will analyze for you the whole chapter first. Then I'll see how each one plays out, how each one of you will actually handle the Lord's Word. And we all come out differently. So I'm always glad to be here to summarize for you all the things put together. And then you can see, I can see the whole big picture. But we all need that. We all need to understand all the things. You know, but beyond all that, to your part, remember, this is important for us. Look at the next word, okay? Which I tested on, this is the words of this law. Verse 47 now, it is not a futile thing for you because it is your life. Now, what did Moses mean when he said it is not a futile thing? Now, this is very important. Right? Now, this is something that we are going to, it is your life. So when we talk about futile thing, what it really means is that it will end up in futility. It's vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Right? Now this is something that we want to ask ourselves. Do we want to end up doing things like that? The answer should be no. We don't want to end up doing things like that because that has got no value. So you want to do something that is not futile. What is not futile? Right? Now here is Audrey coming in. Tomorrow she will be received into our church. She's going to serve the Lord with us. Well, that's going to be a big event for all of us, and I hope you'll be there for her. So what would she do? What's she going to do that is going to be of significance? So I've already outlined for her what she's going to try to do. One of the things that I would like very much to attempt is to teach her how to write devotions for children. So that after junior camp and all, the children will have every week a lesson to learn, to read on their own, so that they will set their hearts on the lessons that they are going to learn. And so that they got something to read. Right now, they got nothing to read. Right? You want them to read the Bible on their own, they can't. In fact, neither can you. Right? They need something to read that we are going to get them to read. We're going to get them to read and so they can answer questions. What have I read? What have I learned? Yes, no, true, false. How does it work? And so forth. They're going to do that. Is it a futile thing? No. It is your life. This is a life's work when you can touch lives and your heart's work and it can be a blessing to children. And one of these days, when they grow up and they will say, you know what, I remember this story. This was a story that I learned. This is a story that meant a lot to me. And I fed on this. It is not a futile thing. Right? This is very important. I spoke to a parent. He says, well, she's very they're concerned for her health. I said, good, that's why we took her out from working for the government. Right? Well, she may be working there, but they will work her to death. But here, you won't die in vain. This is important for us to understand, what are we doing? And it is going to bring life to children. Hopefully, it will be an uplifting. You see, when we handle the Word of God, there is a special power in that Word. That once you touch it, once it is there, once it's alive, it is going to be a very, very special thing. Sometimes you don't know whose lives you can touch, don't know whose lives you can bless. But this week, there was a special poem. There was a prayer that was made. And this person wrote to me, he says, "Pastor, I am writing this prayer as a poem for you. It's my prayer for you. It's a poem. It is written out of love." So I said, I wrote to him and I said, "Can I share this with the whole church?" And he said, "Of course, you can do it whatever you wish." And I saw it's going to be in the bulletin tomorrow. And I am going to share this with you. You know, that sometimes that word you share is not a futile thing. I know what it means for him to understand what it means to be in hospital. Because some years ago, he lost his younger daughter. Death. And I was there. I was there right from the start, from there, and was there all the way through. It was there that a friendship was formed, a love was built. And he wrote and he said, I want to share this with you. It is your life. And I want you to understand this. This can be something that is very beautiful, that you have something being built up for you. Who would know 25 years later when we prayed for this little baby who we didn't know would live or die, 25 years later, she would say, "I'm going to serve the Lord with you." That to me is the amazing thing. Is it in vain? No. Is it futile? No. This is what we do, why we read the Word of God, why we want to share the Word of God with you, because it is not futile. It really isn't. The power of the Word of God can touch your life, can impact your life, and you know, I think this is something that is going to be very, very, very special. But you have to ask yourself, and you need to understand, this power of God can... You can understand it in your mind, but it needs to be experienced. You need to feel it and experience it with your life. It is not a futile thing. Right? Because it is there. How does it work? And it's going to affect every area of your life. So a lot of people ask me again and again, "Pastor, am I afraid of the surgery?" No. "Am I afraid that I might die?" No. "Am I afraid of the things that will happen if it is not successful?" There are problems, there are challenges, there are difficulties. It's going to take weeks, if not months, if not years. That's how long it may take to recover from this particular one surgery. So I have to ask myself, how am I going to cope with these things here? And all the time, it is the power of God's Word that's there to encourage, to comfort, to challenge, to hope, to believe, to be there. And so the heart and the mind will always know this sense of peace that is there. They are not affected. Now, I wish I can tell you how or why. I'm just not affected. Can I sleep at night? Yes. Do I wake up in a terror? No. Can I wake up in a cold sweat? No. Of course, there are nightmares. You know, I end up in the wrong country. Always. I went on there, and then some of you came with me on mission trip and went missing. You know, things like that, nightmares like that, they come. And so I had to remember, of course, it's not true. Just wake up. Come on, you didn't go with me to the ministry. You didn't. But the mind was suddenly, because you come to mind, except I associate with missions, and you come to the wrong place. That's what nightmares are made up of. What did you bring your passport? What happened? What did you do wrong? How come you went to jail and I had to bail you out? You know, things like that. Those are nightmares. Those are terrible things. But is it caused by all these things? No, it's not. It's just the thoughts go crazy. Why do we want to teach the Word of God like this? Right? So Moses explained to them, okay, this is the word which you shall prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to possess. Right? Now, going over to the land to possess is God's blessing. Right? So think about this thing. You're going to cross over to the field of study that you want to go into. That's the Lord's blessing. That's the land that God wants to give to you. Whatever it is, that is your future, in other words. But therein, in the future, is the danger. Right? Do you go, you got admitted to law school and you are overjoyed? Great. Do you go to med school and you are wonderful, you are really happy? Great. But remember, those choice university faculties will also be your source of danger. Wherein is a source of danger? It's the world. And every day you will hear lies being told to you. Every day you battle with falsehood. Every day you battle with shallowness, with superficiality. You can switch off. You can say, I don't care. You can say anything you want. But remember, you're going to get caught. And the only way out, it's the Word of God that God will give to you. It becomes a light inside you. It becomes a lamp to your feet. It becomes the place of joy in your heart. When the toughest of times come, and you really are caught up in a murky world, and you ask yourself, where am I? I am lost. Then you go back to the rise and fall of Israel. You go back to Deuteronomy 32. So this is how Israel rose. This is how Israel fell. This is the story of your life too. This is how you may rise. This is how you may fall. And once you understand this, then Deuteronomy 32 will always become a part of your life. How do I want to rise? Let me be aware of what the Lord has done. What are the dangers of how I can fall easily, bit by bit? Get a bit thick, get a bit obese, get a bit fat, and you start moving away from God. In other words, success gets to your head, success gets to your heart, and all the things that you have, suddenly you tell God's not important anymore. What I have is great, I don't need God. And you start on the way to fall. That happens again and again and again. This is why you need to set your heart on things which the Lord wants to give to us as His Word. But once you experience the reality of the part of the Word of God, then you need not fear falling. You really don't need to. But what is it all about for us? And this is important for us to understand. How can we do this? You will prolong your days in the land. In other words, you need not fall. You can rise and keep rising. You can prolong your days. In other words, the Lord is going to extend your life. He's going to bless you because you know how to rise. You do not need to fall. And so the Lord's blessings can be yours, and you can keep going up all the time, indefinitely. That's how real the Word of God can be. That is the place of God's Word in our life. So you ask yourself, what have I learned today? And you know, I have learned that I can rise and I need not fall. I know the reasons why I can rise up, because the Lord is going to lead, He's going to bless, He's going to guide. And my part is to keep close to Him. These are lessons you need never forget. It becomes a part of you, naturally. And I've seen the Lord's hand in my life, and I look at all these things, and it's unmistakable. Absolutely unmistakable to see the Lord's hand in life. Right? And this is something that I want to share with you. Trace the hand of God in this ballad of Moses, this song of Moses, the rise and fall of Israel, and learn the lessons that once it's there, you will always never forget. You will remember how. So we have our own ways of remembering. I remember how it was. Right? So if you ask me why I'm not afraid, well, part of the reason is because I've had major surgeries before. I know what it was like to be first major surgery, scared. Second major surgery, not so scared. Third major surgery, not scared at all. Going to the fourth one, unperturbed. Because I understand what it means to rise. And the Lord's there to be there. Right? So what is it I keep in mind? Well, this is where I'll remember. I remember the days of old, the years of many generations. The Lord's portion is His people. Well, this is what we are. And the Lord found us. And there He kept Him as the apple of His eye. As an eagle stirs up his nest, hovers over his young, spreading out his wings, taking them up, carrying them on his wings. So the Lord alone led him. This is a rise. Become eagles along with the lion. If I'm going to fly as an eagle, I am not going to be a sparrow. If I'm destined to be an eagle, I fly. I'm not going to be a sparrow. This is our challenge. Rise. Let the Lord lead us up. Don't be afraid of rising. Don't be afraid of success. Just keep close to the Lord. Will success destroy us? Not necessarily. Success can be a wonderful means for the Lord to use you in even greater ways. That is what success is all about. The Lord wants you to become an example to others. This is how you can succeed. This is how, because this is the Lord's blessing in your life. Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the song of Moses, a ballad that can be remembered as the rise and fall of Israel. How Israel rose because you were there as the one who caused Israel to arise. You bore Israel on mighty wings, and thus it rose. Help us to understand how this truth can be applied. But help us also to be aware of the danger of forsaking you, the danger of setting you aside, the danger of not walking with you. We pray that the words that we hear today will be in our hearts, and we will never forget all these things. We live in a terrible world where there is so much deceit, so much evil, so much darkness. Help us to cling even closer to the Lord, who is our rock and our salvation. We pray for your blessings as we continue to look up to you. Keep the youth worship program and all the people here for the next few months especially. Help us to draw to each close to you, to each other, in prayer, in love, in faith. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.